Be the one. Be the one who gives thanks and praise to God. Every time I read this gospel, I ask myself, would I have been the one? The proud part of me immediately responds, well, of course I would have. And then I look at my life and reality sets in. Would I really have been the one to go back and give thanks? I've been with you 5 years now in this parish, and I've shared bits and pieces of my journey with you. I want to share just a few segments of that again to put into context what I'm going to share with you. I have dealt with health issues my entire life. I had surgery as an infant, surgery at 13, surgery at 25, and at that time it was cancer. I also went through months of chemotherapy treatments, spent 52 days in the hospital over 4 months. I went 15 years, relatively good health, diagnosed with cancer a second time at the age of 40, almost 41. 2 years after that, I went to the doctor for a cancer checkup. He listened to my heart and he said, ooh, that's not good. Sent me immediately to the hospital thinking I was having a stroke or a heart attack. Ended up, I needed open heart surgery to repair my mitral valve. And then the surgeon said, this'll fix it for a while. That was 2003. I went through 2014, relatively good health, and a while ran out. And so since 2014, I've been going into atrial fibrillation. I've had 2 heart ablations. I've had 5 cardioversions. And if you're not familiar with that, that's where they shock your heart back into rhythm if the medication isn't doing the trick. And so the last time I had the cardioversion was 12 days ago. So I stand here before you a little bit tired and beat up, but I have a heart that's in rhythm, so I'm thanking and praising God right now. But now, I want to share that I wasn't always at this spot to be able to give God thanks and praise. My natural inclination is to look at everything that's wrong. When I was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 25, 3 years earlier, I was playing 2 sports at the collegiate level, both basketball and baseball. Now I needed assistance just to get out of bed. I felt like my young adult prime years of my life were taken from me. And you know what happens when you just keep thinking that over and over and over again? You become quite cynical, bitter, resentful. That describes who I was for a long time. When I was diagnosed with the heart problem, I had hardly recovered from the second cancer surgery 2 years earlier. I was devastated. And also when they're stopping your heart, putting you on a heart and lung machine and cutting your heart open, there's a lot of risk factors there. And I still had 2 little kids at home. And I'm thinking about all the things that could go wrong. I called up a woman who was at the first parish where I worked at after I was ordained. And I said, you're not going to believe what's happening now. And I lay out my tale of woe. And when I finally took a breath and gave her a chance to speak, she asked me one question. Are you still praising God? Honestly, hadn't even crossed my mind. She said, I'll praise God for you today. Tomorrow, you're on your own. She didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. She told me what I needed to hear. And God has been so gracious to me to bring people like that into my life. I am convinced people are sent into our lives for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime to help us grow in holiness. My dear people, outside of even materially speaking, but if we have a roof over our heads, we have food on the table, we're blessed. But beyond that, what all of this has helped me learn is we are blessed because we're children of the King. My dear people, just think about the sacramental life of the church and the graces that we receive time and time again. When I thought about the sacraments of initiation, baptism, we say the word so frequently that I think the theology just gets to be old hat to us. But you are a child of God. Does that resonate with us in any way? Or has it just become something we have heard so often that it's like, yeah, okay. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King of Kings. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. It doesn't get any better than that. Confirmation, you were sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's power in that. Think about the apostles. They didn't do so well at the time of the arrest and the passion and death of Jesus. Then they hid themselves in a locked room. After the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were willing to give their life to proclaim the gospel message. Do you feel that kind of power in your life because you have the Holy Spirit within you as well? The Eucharist, what a blessing to be thankful for. We get to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Do we receive him reverently and well? Sacraments of service. If you are married and have received the sacrament of holy matrimony, you receive graces in that sacrament not just for yourself, but for your spouse and for your children. Because if you desire the highest and greatest good for your spouse and your children, you want them to spend eternal life in heaven. You have been given the grace in that sacrament to live out that calling well. Are you helping your spouse and children get to heaven? The sacrament of holy orders. There are three levels of holy orders: deacon, priest, and bishop. We're ordained for different ministries, but we're all ordained for service. Once again, the grace that comes to us through that sacrament of holy orders is not just simply to help us grow in holiness, although that's part of it, because we need to be growing in holiness to effectively serve you. But it is the grace of the sacrament which allows us to stand before God's people and help them grow in holiness. That's a lot to be thankful for. And today, for the sacraments of healing, sacrament of penance, more commonly referred to as confession. We can go to confession and be forgiven of our sins time and time again. My dear people, if you're not making use of that sacrament, I want to encourage you to do so. Experience the forgiveness and the grace of God in a powerful way. And finally, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which is very profound for today's gospel reading. In the gospel reading, Jesus is physically present there with the 10 lepers. So he is the sacrament present right there. But for those of us who are older and we remember the definition of a sacrament, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, we recognize now that in the sacrament of the Holy anointing of the sick, Jesus is present in the sacrament. And I want to clear up a couple of things that have kind of come to my attention recently. Number one, it's not the last rites. It may sometimes be used at that time of one's life, but they are not the last rites. I know as a child it was called that all the time, and if you saw the priest showing up in your house for grandma, grandpa, whoever, you knew they were close to death's door. It's the anointing of the sick. Please, if you are going to the hospital to have surgery, contact your priest. Get anointed before that. If you are elderly and you're starting to experience a few more health issues, contact your priest and get anointed for that. What's happened here a couple times lately is people have waited till their loved one is right at death's door, and then they call the priest, and the priest can't get there in time. Think about it. If somebody calls a priest right now, he's been here hearing confessions from 3 to 4:30. He's now at Mass. If they called at 3 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock before he can even attempt to leave, and the person dies before he gets there. We can't wait till the last minute. We do not want to deny our loved ones that opportunity to receive the grace of the sacrament. So please, if you have a loved one that is seriously ill, make sure you're calling sooner rather than later. Years ago, I was teaching a workshop to catechists, and we were covering the seven sacraments, and I was covering the anointing of the sick. And one of the catechists in the room said, "My mom, my dad, my grandma, grandpa, I don't remember who it was anymore." She said, "They got anointed and they still died." Let's be clear. We are all going to die at some point. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, eventually died a second time. But think about it this way. Does a cure ever happen with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? It does occasionally. Does it happen all the time? No. Does healing take place? Yes. I have seen instances. I was visiting a person in a nursing home one time. She had been unresponsive for several days. The local priest came in to give her the anointing of the sick. Unresponsive, but we always believe that they can hear everything we're saying. The priest prays all the prayers and finally anoints her. The countenance on her face changed. She was at peace. Inner healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, whatever is going on there that God's grace can do that we may not be able to physically see or observe, but in this one case, I think those of us who were able to see it, it was for our benefit probably more than hers, to let us know the power of the sacrament. Healing takes place. Also, healing of relationships. I have been in a nursing home room, and the tension was so thick in the room you could cut it, because the family had been at odds for many, many years. Some of the siblings had not spoken to one another for over 10 years. The priests come in, and once again, the individual who was being anointed was unresponsive. The priest said all the prayers, anointed her. One of the siblings who had not spoken to another one broke the ice and spoke for the first time in over a decade. That was just the start of the healing. But my dear people, don't think that just because your loved one died after they were anointed and were not cured, don't think that healing did not take place. God's power is magnificent. And I am so sorry that I was such a slow learner, but God kept putting people into my life to help me understand that it's all about the glory of God. God has allowed me to stand here with you for these last 5 years. I have lived much longer than I ever anticipated. Next July will mark 40 years as a cancer survivor. That's God's grace and blessing. So I don't know about you, but tonight I am going to be that one that gives thanks and praise to God for the many blessings in our lives. And I invite you to do the same, not just today, but each and every day of your life. Be the one.